Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. We're on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, two lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, we learned earlier, Mila v'chol machshireha, Mila, and all of its accessories, all the preparations for the Bris Mila as well, are doichenes ha-Shabbos, negate Shabbos, they override Shabbos. Divei Rabbi Lezer. Says the Gemara, Menale, the Rabbi Lezer, ha. How does Rabbi Lezer know that not only the Mila itself is doicha Shabbos, but the preparations as well are doicha Shabbos? I mikulu gomar. Can we say perhaps that he will learn the machshirim of Mila from the other mitzvahs we had? Oymer shtealechem. Each one has its own makor, its own source, that the machshirim are doicha Shabbos. Perhaps Rabbi Lezer will derive the machshirim, the preparation of the Bris Mila, from one of those mitzvahs. Says Mar, we cannot do that. Kedam Rinan, as we said earlier, that each one of them has a stringency, something which is unique about it, and therefore we cannot go ahead and learn something else from those things. Va'oid, in addition, malahanach, shekeinim ovar zmano, batla. These things are unique. The oymer shtealechem, all these mitzvahs are unique because if their zman was ovar, if their time passes, batla, it's batla. They're all time sensitive, time dependent, as opposed to mila. Even though we're meant to do it on the eighth day, but if the time passes, you can still go ahead and do the mila afterwards. So perhaps it doesn't justify to go ahead and do the machshirim on Shabbos. Says Mar Elo Hainu Taima de Rabbi Lezer. This is the reason for Rabbi Lezer's chiddush that the machshirim of mila adecha Shabbos da makra, because the pasuk says uvayoyim ashmini on the eighth day yimoyl b'sara lasoi. So they should do mila on the basar of the arla. The word uvayoyim seems to be an extra word, and it's coming to teach us va'afilu b'shabbos. Even on Shabbos, one may do the machshirim. How do we know it's going on the machshirim? Says Rashi, because the actual mila itself, the bris itself, is deicha Shabbos based on a halacha Moshe Messina, as the Gemara will mention soon. So apparently, this extra word uvayoyim, which is coming to include Shabbos as well, is going to be applied to the preparations, to the machshirim of mila. And indeed, this is the source for Rabbi Lezer. Says the Gemara, if so, v'lichtav rachmanu b'mila. Why can the Torah simply write this halacha that the machshirim adecha Shabbos by the mitzvah of mila? V'lei sohanach v'ligma minei. And the other ones, oymer shtealechem, sukkalul, all those can simply learn, derive from bris mila. Why do we need separate psukim in all those areas? Says the Gemara, m'shem dikele mifrach, because we can go ahead and refute and draw a line between mila and all the other mitzvahs, because mila is outstanding. Ma'ale mila shekei nichir su'alea shleshes rei brisais. We find that when it comes to mila, there were 13 brisos, 13 covenants, 13 bonds, which were applied to bris mila, which bris mila entails, as Rashi brings that in the parsha of mila, with Avraham Avinu, there is the mentioning of the word bris 13 times. So since bris is so unique that it contains all these 13 mentionings of bris, 13 different aspects of bris, so perhaps you cannot go ahead and derived the other mitzvahs from bris mila. Therefore, each mitzvah needs its own source, its own limud, to teach us that the machshir and the preparation of the mitzvahs are doicha Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Ad kan li pligi, Rabbanon ole. We only find that the Rabbanon disagrees with Rabbi Lezer, ele, with machshir mila, only with regard to the preparation of the mila, whether or not doicha Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer says yes, Rabbanon say no. Aval mila gufa, but the actual bris mila itself, divrei hakol deicha Shabbos, all agree that it overrides Shabbos. One goes ahead and does the mila bismana was speaking on the eighth day. He certainly does it on Shabbos. Minolan, how do we know that? From where do we learn this halacha? Amar ula halacha, it's actually halacha Moshe Sinai, received by Moshe from Har Sinai. It's Torah Shabbal Peh, the oral Torah. V'cheinu arbitzlik halacha meisvei v'abraisa, which seems to indicate that no, it cannot be that it is based on halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Braisa says as follows, menayin l'pikuach nefesh. How do we know that for the sake of saving one's life, one may do a malacha, menayin l'pikuach nefesh, shedoichas ha-Shabbos. It overrides Shabbos, Rav Lezer ben Azari Omer. We learn it from a kal v'chomer, from a bris mila. Ma mila. If we find that mila, since mila, which is only shi'achas me'rvar shal adam, which only pertains to one limb of a person, is only b'masak and only benefits one aver of a person. Nevertheless, doiches haShabbos, we find that the mila itself is doiches haShabbos. Kavochem is certainly lepikuach nefesh, to do a malacha for the sake of saving one's entire body and so entire life. Certainly that justifies Chilul Shabbos. Certainly the Kabachayim Pekuach Nefesh Shadoiches HaShabbos. So we derive Pekuach Nefesh from Bris Milah. Now, if you maintain that halach, that the reason why we do Bris Milah on Shabbos, it's based on halacha Mesh Mesina, which is Torah Shabbat Peh. Kal v'chaymer mahalacha mi'asi, can one derive a halacha through the formula of kavachomer from a halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Can we apply a kavachomer to Torah Shebaal Peh? V'atanya, we learned in a brisa, which tells us very clearly that we cannot go ahead and apply a kavachomer reasoning when we are basing it on something which is Torah Shebaal Peh. Kavachomer only applies to something which is written, the written word, the written Torah. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa. Amr loy, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Akiva. So Rabbi Lezer turned to Rabbi Akiva and said, how can you go ahead? Rabbi Akiva is learning regarding a Nazir that we know that a Nazir who accepted upon himself a vow not to drink wine, not to become Tameh. So if he becomes Tameh, then he goes ahead and he terminates his Nazirus. He has to shave and Megalech and start the Nazirus all over again. So Rabbi Akiva was deriving the halacha regarding Revius of Dam. If there's a revius of blood, of a mace, and the Nazir comes into contact with it, his Nazirus terminates. How do we know that? So, Rabbi Akiva said, well, a kavachaymer, we know that an etzem kesoira, if we have a piece of bone the size of a barley, etzem of a mace, and the Nazir comes into contact with it, we know from halacha Meshmer Sinai, that the Nazir terminates his Naziris and needs to start all over again. Says Rabbi Akiva, we're going to learn out through a kavachomer that halacha applies to a revius dam as well. You have an amount of a revius of dam, blood of a mace. There too, if the nazir comes into contact with it, his Naziris terminates. So we're applying a kavachomer to the revius dam and learning it from the halacha of etzem kesoira, which is really based on halacha l'mishem Sinai. And Rashi brings the kavachomer, which is that since we find that if another touches that small bone, he terminates his nazirus, although the etzem kesoira is limited. It's limited in its ability to be metame. It's only metame b'maga u'b'masa if one touches it or carries it. Nevertheless, it has that power to shut down the nazirus. Certainly the dam, revius dam, which has the ability generally to be metame, not only b'maga, through contact, uvimasa, through lifting, through carrying, it also is matame be'oil. If it's found together with a person in the same, under the same roof, it is generally matame the person, so it has more ability to impart tumah. So certainly, of course, if we find that the etzem could affect the nazir, certainly the dam should have the ability to affect the nazir. So Rabbi Lezer responded to that. Omer Rabbi Lezer Razai Akiva, etzem kisoira matame halacha. How do we know that etzem kisoira is metame a person? How do we know that the etzem kesoira is metame a nazir to the extent that his nazirus terminates? How do we know that from halacha Meshem Sinai? Urvi is dam kavachomer, and urvi is dam. You're trying to learn from there through a kavachomer. The ain donen kavachomer malach. We cannot derive. We cannot apply a kavachomer to halacha Meshem Sinai, as Rashi says. Halacha Meshem Sinai is Torah Shabbat Peh, it's oral Torah, and those formulas, those Yud Gimel Midos, different types of ways of learning things, derivations, including Kavachomer, can only be applied to something which is Torah Shabbat Chsav. So that's Rabbi Lezer Azai's response to Rabbi Akiva. Ein donen Kavachomer mehalacha. So likewise, in our sugya, how can you say that Mila Bizmana, the halacha that Mila overrides Shabbos, is learned from Halacha Meshem Sinai? If so, how can the Brisa suggest that we will derive from this halacha to the other halacha of Pikuach Nefesh is the Cheshavas, and that will be done through using a Kavachoyma formula, basing it on the Halacha Meshem Sinai? If we find that Mila is the Cheshavas, which is halacha Meshem Sinai, certainly Pikuach Nefesh, saving an entire person, can be the Cheshavas. You cannot apply Kavachoyma to Halacha Meshem Sinai. Elamer Belezer, apparently, the source for Mila overriding Shabbos is another one. It's a different source, a Torah Shabbat Chsav source. Asya Ois, we apply Exer Shava. The Torah uses the word Ois by Shabbos it says L'derosam Oisi Le'olam, and by Bris Milah it says V'hoya La'ois Bris. So we apply the concept of Zer Shava, and we say just as the pasuk by Shabbos Oisi Le'olam is Shabbos, so likewise when the pasuk by Milah uses the word V'hoya La'ois Bris, it is indicating that the Bris can be done on Shabbos as well. Says the Gemara Elam Ya'ata, if this is the case, that the word Ois was accepted from Har Sinai to be used for this type of Gzeirah Shava, if so, Tfilin, Tichsiv Behen Ois. Likewise, Tfilin, we find the word Ois, V'ayu L'Ois Al Yodacha, L'Tchi Shabbos, there too, preparations for the Tfilin should override Shabbos. We could apply it, we could apply this Gzeirah Shava to Tfilin as well. Says Gemara Ella, rather, Asya Bris Bris. We don't learn from Ois. Ois, rather we use the Gzeirah Shava using the words Bris. We find the word Bris by Bris, by Eloi's Bris, and we find the word Bris by Shabbos. It says, there is some Bris Olam. So we connect the two things. We say that Bris can be done on Shabbos as well. Says the Gemara, if so, why do you limit this allowance of Bris on Shabbos only to the Mila Bezmana on the eighth day? What about a Gadol? A person is already 13 years old, and at this point, he has his own obligation to do his Bris if, for some reason, it wasn't done earlier. And there is what we find mentioning of this word Bris. Gadol dechsive Bris. The pasuk says, as Brisi Hefer, this is speaking about the Gadol who has neglected to do his Bris. So the term Bris is mentioned there as well. Lidchi Shabbos. There as well. The Bris should be Deicha Shabbos, should override Shabbos. One should be allowed to make a Bris even on a Gadol, on an adult, on Shabbos. Ella says the Gemara, rather, Asya Deiroiz Deiroiz. We employ a different Gzeirah Shava using the words Doiris, Doiris. So we have the word Doiris by Bris, it says Chol Zochol Doiris Seichem. We have the word Doiris by Shabbos, it says Lasses Shabbos Doiris and Bris Olam. So we learn from there that the Bris can take place on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, if so, Tzitzis Dechsivei Doiris. Likewise, by Tzitzis we find the term Doiris, it says V'Oslam Tzitzis Al Kafim Deim Lid Doirisam Lidchi Shabbos. There too, one should be allowed to make the Tzitzis on Shabbos. Ella Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, we don't suffice with just one. Don in Ois Bris Vidoiris. We need all three together. We learn the combination of Ois and Bris and Doiris, which is found by Bris Milah, by the Bris Milah of a Katan Bismanoi. We learn that from Shabbos, where we also find these three words mentioned, Mi Ois Bris V'Doiris, mentioned by Shabbos, and therefore we connect the two things, and the Bris will take place on Shabbos. Lafuki Hanach, as opposed to all those others mentioned, Tfilin and Tzitzis, and even the Bris of a Gadol, the Chad Chadu Dechsiv Behen. In those cases, only one of these things are mentioned. None of them have all three Lashonos, all three terms combined. So this is the source of the Bris Milah, which takes place on the eighth day, that it is the Cheshabbos. We learn from Gzeirah Shava using the words Ois Bris and Doiris found by Bris. We connect it to Ois Bris and Doiris found by Shabbos to teach us that the Bris will take place on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara of Yochanan Amar. We have another source for the Bris taking place on Shabbos. Amar Kro B'Yoyim. This is the pasuk mentioned earlier. V'Yoyim Hashmini Yimob Sar Alasa. Why does the Torah need to mention the word U'V'Yoyim? V'Yoyim is Afilu B'Shabbos, to include even the Bris on Shabbos. Amar Le'Rishlok Shav Yochanan El Miata. If this is the case that Bayoim includes Shabbos, what about Nechusri Kapara? Those people that were Tamei, the Zav, and the Zava, who need to bring a carbon to complete their purification process. So they're in need of a Kapara. Dechsivu Bayoim. There as well, the Pasuk says Bayoim Hashmini. Hachinami, when we say here too, the Dochus Shabbos, that those Karbanos, even though they're private Karbanos, that they're Dochus Shabbos, they can be brought on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ahumi Boyle, Bayoim Vile Belaila. That Pasuk, by those mechusrei kapara, by those people who are in need of a carbon and of a completion of that kapara, their ubayoyim is not superfluous, it's not available. Why? Because that pasuk is needed to teach you that their karbanos can only be brought by day and not by night. So the pasuk is used for that and it's unavailable. Hai nami, here too by bris, mi boyele ubayoyim by belayla. The pasuk ubayoyim perhaps is coming to teach us that milah takes place by day and not at night, and it's not available to include Shabbos. Ha'hu mi ben shmoynes yomim nafka. That halacha, that bris must take place by day, is learned from another pasuk. Ben shmoynes yomim nafka. So therefore, the word ubayoyim hashmini is available to teach us even Shabbos. Hai nami, here too, by those tmeim, maybe yom savoyis nafka, We learn the fact that a korban is required to be brought by day from the pasuk. The pasuk says Hashem, the day that Hashem commanded them to bring the korbanos, which implies that the korban is only brought b'yom. So we learn it from there, and the pasuk b'yom hashmini by those tmeim by those mechusik haparah is indeed available to teach us even Shabbos. Ha'inami b'yom tzavoyse nafka, says the Gemara af agav de nafka b'yom tzavoyse. Although generally we learn from this pasuk that a korban is brought by day, strictly by day, not at night, it's shricha. There is still a need for the Torah to specify by these mechusik haparah, that their korban needs to be brought strictly by day. Why? Perhaps I would say, perhaps since we find that the Torah expressed concern and care about these people, asuye bedalus, the Torah allowed a special allowance here that they can bring their karbanos bedalus, a pauper's carbon. If they can't afford a more elegant carbon, Torah gives them, Torah staggers the karbanos. If you can't afford, bring a lower level carbon, lower value carbon. And the Torah cares about them, is concerned about them, to allow them, to give them the opportunity to purify themselves. So perhaps since we see the Torah expressed extra care and concern, if so, balayla nami laisi, perhaps I can assume that they can even bring it at night so that they complete their purification process, kamash malon. Therefore, the Torah needs to specifically state, no, even by these mechusrei kapara who need this carbon to complete their tahara process, they cannot bring the carbon at night. And that is the meaning of the word of B'yoyim HaShmini stated by these fellows. It's coming to exclude nighttime from Havoah's carbonus. Therefore, there's no pasuk available to teach us that these carbonus can be brought on Shabbos. Maskev l'Ravina. So Ravina challenged. He says, Ela mi'ata, if this is the case, Yehizar Koshaben, if you are working with this attitude that the Torah expresses care and concern for these people, if so, a zar, a non-kayan, perhaps should be qualified, suitable to do the karbanos of these mechusrei kapar. Perhaps we don't need to be specific and require a kayan. The oinen kasher behem. Likewise, an oinen, a kayan whose close relative passed away on that day, generally he's unfit for avoida, perhaps he should be allowed to do the avoida, the karbanos of these mechusrei kapar, because the Torah expressed a special care and concern regarding these people. It says Gemara, Ha'ahadrei kra. Nevertheless, we find that the Torah restores it. We find that the Torah tells us, no, the korbanos of these mechusrei kapara must conform to typical guidelines. They must conform to the halachas of ordinary korbanos. And just as we don't bring them at night, we must bring them with valid kohanim, not with a zar, nor with a oinen. They must conform to standard guidelines, just as all other kabbanis. Continues the Gemara of Acha bar Yaakov Omar. I have another source for Mila, which is Deicha Shabbos. Omar Kro, the pasuk says Shmini. Ubayoyim Shmini Yimal. The word Shmini is extra. Shmini Afilu b'Shabbos. The eighth day, even if it falls out on Shabbos, you're meant to conduct the bris. Says the Gemara, Shmini is extra. Hi Shmini Mibayle. We need the word Shmini to teach us Limutei Shvi, to exclude the seventh day. That's meant to take place on the eighth day, not on the seventh day. Says more that Allah, we learn from a different pasuk. Shvi, Ben Shmoinas Yomim Nafka. We learn from the pasuk of Ben Shmoinas Yomim, which teaches us the eighth and not the seventh day. Va'akati, but even so, we boil it. We need it. Why? Chad Muti Shvi. We need the pasuk needs to stipulate the number eight. It needs to do it twice. One, Lemuti Shvi, to exclude the seventh day. V'chad Lemuti Shvi, to exclude the ninth day. Di Michad, because if only one, the pasuk would only mention it once. How about me? I would say Shvi. You can't do it on the seventh day because the time has not yet arrived. It's still premature. Avo mishmini ve'elach zimniu. Perhaps from the eighth day onward, it's considered to be the appropriate time. There's no reason to prefer the eighth day as opposed to the ninth day. So therefore, the Torah needs to repeat it twice. So we have no extra pasuk to teach you. Afilu b'shavas. Ela says more, rather, machavarta. It appears clearly that Rabbi Yechon's approach is the correct one, that the source, the makar of Mila B'Shabbos is from the word B'yoyim, B'yoyim Afilu B'Shabbos. Tani kavas Rabbi Yechonon udeloi kurbacha b'Yaakov. We have a braisa which supports Rabbi Yechon's approach and not Rabacha b'Yaakov. The braisa says, Shmini Yimoil. We learn from there, Afilu B'Shabbos. The pasuk says, B'yoyim Shmini Yimoil. We learn from there that even on Shabbos, the assumption is, the premise here is, that Mila takes place even on Shabbos. Umani mekayim. If so, how do I fulfill the pasuk which says mechalel moisumas? The one who desecrates Shabbos dies. We apply that b'shar malachis, chutz mila, to other malachis, excluding mila. Mila is meant to take place on Shabbos. That's the working assumption. Oy einai. Now the Brisa reverts. Brisa says, well, perhaps it's not so simple. Oy einai el afilo mila. Perhaps when the Torah does not allow malachis to be done on Shabbos, it is referring to even mila. Umani mekayim shmina yimo. If so, how do I fulfill the pasuk which says that on the eighth day he will have a bris? Chutz mi Shabbos. Excluding Shabbos, because mila cannot take place on Shabbos. So the Brisa totally switched tracks. We began with that premise that why shouldn't mila take place on Shabbos? Then the Brisa switched things around. Well, no, mila cannot take place on Shabbos. If so, how do we know that a mila happens on Shabbos? Tamaloyma, the pasuk says, Bayoim. Ubayam Ashmini, Bayoim is coming to tell you afilu b'Shabbos. So we have a pasuk which teaches us that a mila, which is taking place at the appropriate time in the eighth day, will take place on Shabbos. So indeed, this is a writer, Rabbi Yochanan, who derived this halacha from this pasuk. Now let's analyze the wording of the Brisa. The Brisa begins with one approach, then switches midway. Let's try to understand it. Omar Rava, hi Tana. This Tana of the Brisa, mei kora mai kanichle. Initially, why was he satisfied with making that assumption that mila takes place even on Shabbos? Uluba soiv. Then proceeding with the Brisa, we see Michael Kashile. Well, why did he have difficulty with that premise? Why did he go ahead and question himself? So what happened here? What made him switch tracks midway? Says the Gemara Hachikamar. So Rav is explaining, this is what the Tana means to say. Shmini yima, the pasuk says on the eighth day he will have a bris, afilu b'Shabbos. The working assumption here is, the premise is, that mila can take place even on Shabbos. Umani mekayim mechalaleo meisumas. And how do I fulfill the pasuk, which does not allow malachis, if one is mechal Shabbos, he incurs punishment, misa. That only applies b'shar malachis, other types of labors, chutz mimila, aval mila, but mila itself, certainly dachya, has the ability to override Shabbos. So this is the initial opening words, the opening meaning of the Brisa, meaning that we're working with that presumption that mila is superior to Shabbos in this aspect, it overrides Shabbos. Why? Explains Rav as follows. What is this svara based on my taima kavachoymeru? It is based on a kavachoymer. We will learn from the kavachoymer that mila has the ability to override Shabbos. The kavachim goes as follows. Uma tzoras shedoyche es ha'avoida. Since we find that tzoras, if one has leprosy, a nega, and he is tame, we find that the nega overrides the avoida, the service of the karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. How is that? Explains Rashi. Let's say it's Erev Pesach, and Yisrael need to bring their karban Pesach, and they are tame, they are mitzrayim. We don't go ahead and chop off the nega. The Torah says, one may not remove the nega. Yishomar benega tzaras. You cannot remove the nega from a person's body. It's a loisa say. Now, although it's at the expense of the carbon Pesach, the tzaras negates the carbon. The tzaras, which is present, overrides the carbon, takes precedence over the carbon. It seems to have superiority over avoida. So since we find that tzaras is doich avoida, likewise, it says if the kohen would like to bring the carbon, he asks tzaras, he's unfit. He can't go ahead and do the avoida. He can't go ahead and say, well, I'll remove the nega to allow myself, to enable myself to do the avoida. No, tzaras is doich avoida. So that's the first link in the chain. We find that tzaras seems to be superior to avoida. The second link in the chain is va'avoida doich es ha'shabbos. We find that the avoida has the ability to be doich ha'shabbos. Let's take a look at Rashi on the top line here. Va'avoida chamuri. It's stringent, it's chamer, it's superior, shadeich Shabbos, because it negates Shabbos. V'tzmidinu musaf, and the karbanos tzibur, we find that we bring the karbanos tamid, musaf, all the karbanos tzibur, shezmanam kavua, which have a set time. So you find that the avoida has the power to override Shabbos. So, two links in the chain. We have tzaras, which is superior to avoida. We have avoida, superior to Shabbos. Now, although tzaras is so strong that overpowers avoida, which overpowers Shabbos. Mila doicha oisa. Nevertheless, we find that bris mila has the power to override tzaras. As we want to learn in the coming Gemara, if there's a nega in the place of mila, one simply goes and cuts it off. The bris mila, the mitzvah bris, overrides nega. So we find that mila is so powerful It overrides Tzaraas, which is stronger than Avodah, which is stronger than Shabbos. So certainly, can Mila override Shabbos? Of course. Continues the Gemara, Shabbos shenidchas b'nei Avodah. So Shabbos itself, which is negated in the face of Avodah, as we learned that Karbonos are brought on Shabbos, so it seems to be weaker, so to speak, than Avodah. Certainly, ein edin shetei Mila doich oisa. Certainly, Mila, which is stronger than them all, it is stronger than Tzaraas, which is stronger than Avodah, which is stronger than Shabbos. Certainly, Mila can go ahead and directly override Shabbos, and Mila certainly can be done on Shabbos. So this is the Kal Vachomer with which the Braisa bases its opening remarks, opening premise on. Certainly, Mila has the power to override Shabbos. If so, what was the rejoinder? Umay oy eino de kamar. What is the Tana reverting and saying, well, perhaps not, he's questioning this premise. Hadu Amar, the Tana responded and rejoined and said, well, he said to himself, well, I'm not so sure. I'm uncertain about this conclusion. Umimai de Tzaraas Chamur. How do we know really that Tzaraas is superior, is more Chamur than Shabbos? Meaning, we're working with this assumption that Tzaraas, since it negates Avodah, and Avodah negates Shabbos, so Tzaraas is the superior one amongst these two. So if we face Shabbos and Tzaraas against each other, Tzaraas is a superior one. And that's the basis of this Kal Vachomer. Because if Mila overrides Tzaraas, which is stronger than Avodah, stronger than Shabbos, then certainly Mila can go ahead and override Shabbos. Well, how do we know that Tzaraas is more chamer than Shabbos? Perhaps it's actually Shabbos who's superior to Tzaraas. How's that? We might the Tzaraas chamer. How do you know Tzaraas is more chamer? Then was Shabbos chamer? Perhaps Shabbos is more stringent. Shekein yesh bo einshin v'asaras harbi. Because in Shabbos there are many punishments and many isurim as opposed to Tzaraas, which only carries one iser. Don't cut off that nega. It's only a single iser. So Shabbos actually seems to be superior to Tzaraas. Now the fact that if one has a nega, he is unfit for Avodah, and we say that the Tzaraas sort of pushes away Avodah, which pushes away Shabbos, so apparently Tzaraas seems to be superior than them all. No, it's not on account of its superiority. How do you know it's because Tzaraas is mochamer? Dilma, mishum gavru, you know why? We won't remove the nega from the person who wants to do Avodah. It's not because the Tzaraas is mochamer, it stands on a higher footing than Avodah. It's simply based on a technical consideration. Because even if you remove this nega, the person is still unfit to do Avodah. Why? Explains Rashi, because he needs to be toivel, and he needs to have hair of Shemesh, he has to wait for nightfall. In which case the day has already passed. By the time he becomes fit, suitable for Avodah, so the day of the carbon is gone. There's no point to remove the nega. We might mishum the chamir tzaraasi. How do you know it's on account of the superiority, the chumra of tzaraas? Dilma mishum gavr goli chazik, because the person is not suitable. So this removes the whole basis of the Kal Vachomer. We're working with this assumption that Tzaraas is so superior, it negates Avodah, which negates Shabbos. So if Mila has the power to override Tzaraas, certainly has the power to override Shabbos. No! You're making a wrong assumption. Your conclusion is wrong. Shabbos is really the more stringent one. It has many Yisur, many Einshim. The fact that when one has a nega on himself, he cannot do Avodah. It's not because Tzaraas is stronger than Avodah. It's simply merely as a result of, it's a circumstantial thing. Since removing of the nega will not enable him to do the Avodah on that day. So if so, once we negated our Kal Vachomer, the conclusion will be, Umani Mekayim Shmini Yimel. If so, how do I fulfill the pasuk which says on the eighth day he should do a Mila? Chutz mi Shabbos. It's not including Shabbos, because on Shabbos, Mila will not be allowed. There's no basis to allow Mila. Talmud lo yimar ayba yoyim afilu b'Shabbos. That's why the Brice concludes. Okay, we have no more Kal Vachomer. Now indeed, we need to revert to the pasuk. It's an extra word by yoyim to teach us that Mila is Doicha Shabbos. So in summary, we know that Mila is Doicha Shabbos. Why? We have several approaches. Either through the Gzeres Shava, using the words Ois Bris Doiris, which is present by Bris, and is present by Shabbos, to teach us that Bris takes place on Shabbos. We have Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Bayoim is coming to teach us afilu b'Shabbos. And we have a Braisa, which concurs with this approach. We have Rabbi Bar Yaakov, who uses the word Shmini, to tell us Shmini Afilu B'Shabbos. This is all according to Rabbanu's approach of things, according to Rabbi Elazar. The Halacha Mishnah is the basis for the Mila being Nechah Shabbos. And from the word B'Yayim, which teaches us Afilu B'Shabbos, he actually learns that the Machshirim, the preparations of the Bris Mila, can take place on Shabbos as well. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, we learned Tana B'Rais. Now we're going to learn the Makar, that Mila is Dechah Tzaras. If there's a Nega at the place of the Mila, one goes ahead and performs the Bris Mila, despite the fact that he's going to remove the Nega, which is generally a prohibition that Mitzvah Loisa say, one is not meant to go ahead and remove his Nega, but Mila overrides that. Tana Rabbanu, Mila Dechah Tzaras. It overrides Tzaras. Bein Bezmano, Bein Shloi Bezmano, whether or not the Mila is taking place in its prescribed time on the 8th day, or even Shloi Bezmano is taking place later on, it has the ability to override the Nega. Yom Tov, however, Mila, with regard to overriding Yom Tov, it only has the ability to be done on Yom Tov when it is done on the 8th day, and certainly the same halacha applies to Shabbos. How do we know this concept that Mila overrides Tzaras? The Tana Rabbanan, Yimol B'Sar Alasai, the pasuk we discussed earlier, B'Yamashmini Yimol B'Sar Alasai, on the 8th day, he will have Mila to the Basar of his Arlam, and we just assume that it's referring to even when there is a nega at that location. Even though there's a baharis, a nega in that location, he will simply chop it off and do the bris milah. Umani mekayim. So how do I fulfill the iser of yishomer b'nega b'tzaras? You meant to safeguard with regard to the nega tzaras. Don't get rid of it. You're not allowed to cut it off. How do we fulfill that? Lois say b'shar mekayim. That's only when the nega is present in different locations of the body. Chutz mimila, except when it pertains to the mitzvah of Mila. Because in that case, the Mila overrides it. So this is the opening introduction of the Braisa, very similar to the previous Braisa. The working assumption here is the premises that Mila has the power to override Nega. Then the Braisa reverts. Oy Einoy begins questioning that assumption. Oy Einoy, perhaps not. Oy Einoy el afilu Mila, perhaps the Torah, which doesn't allow us to chop off that Nega, it's referring to even Mila. Even when it's at the place of the Bris Mila, one cannot proceed. Umani mekayim yu b'sar alasai. How then do I fulfill the directive to do Bris Mila? Bizman she'ein b'baharis, when there's no nega present. So perhaps you cannot do a Mila at the expense of a nega. Tamaloimar basar. The pasuk says, yimol b'sar alasai. The word b'sar is extra. Coming to teach us. Va'afa pish yeshon b'baharis. Even though there's a b'baharis present there, one proceeds with the Bris Mila at the expense of the nega. So it's a very similar braisa. We began with that premise that yes, Mila overrides Nega, and concluded, well, we're not so sure about it, and we need a pasuk. And we indeed concluded with a limud from the word basar to teach us that a Mila is done even at the expense of a Nega. Omar Rava, let's analyze these words. Hi, Tana. Well, how do we understand the proceedings of this braisa? The liberation of the braisa. Hi, Tana, mi kora, mai nichle. Why initially was the Tana satisfied and happy with the premise that Mila overrides Nega? But then later on, why was he questioning that assumption? This is what the Tana meant to say. Initially he said, Yimo b'sar alosoi. When the pasuk directs us to do Mila, it's referring to even when it is at the expense of the Nega. Even though there's a nega there, you go ahead, remove the nega. Umani mekayim. If so, how do I fulfill the prohibition, the iser, which restricts us from tampering with the nega? Hishama b'nega tzaras. That's only b'shar mekayim. It's chutz mimila. That's only when the nega is present in other locations on the body, except when it is at the location of the mila. Avo mila. But when it interferes with mila, doyiches tzaras. Certainly the mila pushes away the tzaras. Now, why is that? Why, based on what, are we concluding in this manner? My time, or why? The asim b'kavachaymer. Because we have a kavachaymer to support this assertion. The kavachaymer goes as follows. Uma Shabbos chamura. Since we find that all Shabbos, which is stringent and superior, it has many averis, many unshim, nevertheless, mila doicha oisa, bris mila has the ability to negate Shabbos. As we concluded earlier, we have a pasuk for that. So if we find that Shabbos, despite its superiority, Mila overrides it, certainly Tzaras, which is inferior in contrast and proportion to Shabbos, so certainly Tzaras like Kol Shekein, of course, when we're faced with a choice of doing Mila or Tzaras, certainly the Mila has the ability to Bedecha Tzaras. So that was the assertion, that was the premise that the Tana began, with which the Tana began his discussion. Umay Eina Dekamar. If so, what's the rejoinder? What's the response that the Braisa, that the Tana challenged? And he said, well, perhaps not. Hada Kama, the Braisa responded by saying, the Tana responded by saying, well, perhaps my basis here isn't really so sound. Mimai the Shabbos Chamir. How do I really know that Shabbos is the more stringent one, is Chamer, when compared with Tzaras? Shabbos is superior, and that's the basis of the Kal V'Chomer, because if Mila is Deicha Shabbos, which is superior, certainly it could be Deicha Tzaras. How do I know that Shabbos is Chomer? Duma Tzaras Chomer, perhaps it's actually Tzaras, who is to be considered more Chomer, superior, with regard to Shabbos. Why? Because we find Shekein Deicha Es Avoida, because Tzaras negates Avoida, as mentioned earlier, when the Kohen, for instance, has a nega, and he'd like to do the avoida, which is a mitzvah, he cannot go ahead, remove that nega to allow and to enable him to do the avoida. V'avoida dechas haShabbos. And we find that although tzaras is superior to avoida, and avoida has the ability to dechas Shabbos, as mentioned earlier, that karbanos are brought on Shabbos. So perhaps it's not actually Shabbos who's deemed superior to tzaras, it's actually tzaras which is superior to Avodah, because we see Tzaras negates Avodah, and Avodah negates Shabbos. So certainly Tzaras is considered to be on a higher grade than Shabbos. Tamar loyma basar. So now that we negated that Kal V'Chomer, which was based on the premise that Shabbos is superior, we can no longer have that assumption that Mila, since it's Deicha Shabbos, is Deicha Tzaras. Perhaps Tzaras cannot be negated and overridden by Mila, because Tzaras is superior to Shabbos. So we need a pasuk to allow Mila to take place by a nega. Tamaloyma basar. That's why we learn from the pasuk basar afishiation baharis. The pasuk is teaching us even when there is a baharis, a nega present at the location of the bris Mila, one proceeds and does the bris even at the expense of the nega. Lishnachrin, another version to explain the deliberations of the Tana. The Tana began by saying, well, Mila deiches atzaras. Certainly Mila has the ability to negate tzaras. Why? My time in the osi essay, v'deich leis essay. Because this is a formula employed many times, that essay negates lois essay. When we're faced with a choice of either doing mekayim a mitzvah essay, a positive commandment, or refraining from a mitzvah lois essay, a negative commandment, the mitzvah essay takes precedence and overrides the lois essay. For instance, if one would like to wear tzitzis that feature kelayim woven together, he may do so, although kelayim is a lois essay, but the mitzvah tzitzis, which is an essay, negates and overrides mitzvah lois essay. So Rabban Chumash actually gives a reason for this. He says that mitzvahs essay, positive mitzvahs, are reflective of av, of love to Hashem. They connect us to Hashem. It's an expression of love, as opposed to mitzvahs lois essay, the prohibitions, the negative commandments, which are an expression of yira, of fear. We don't want to separate ourselves from Hashem by doing something wrong. And the Rabban says that ava, the sensation of love, is greater, is on a higher level than the sensation of yira, fear, and therefore, when we're faced with a choice of av and yira, essay, do or don't do, we go ahead and we do, because av is deich yira. So this is this forms the basis of the assertion of the Tana, who began by saying, well, certainly Mila, which is a mitzvah say, can negate the isser of removing of the negat saras, which is a lois say, because asay is deich lois say. Again, Mila Deiches Hatzaras, my time, why the Osi essay? Because an essay comes along with Dochi and negates and pushes away the Lois essay. So that's the working assumption here, that a Mila can negate the Tzaras. Umay Eina Dekamar. If so, why was the Braisa questioning this assumption? Hada Kamar. Atana responded by saying, well, perhaps not so sure about it. Why? Eimor Damrinan. When do we say the also essay v'daches lois essay? When do we employ this rule, this formula, that an essay has the power to override a lois essay? Lois essay greater when he is faced with just a lois essay. Hi, but here by nega, in addition to the lois essay, we have an essay as well. Hi, essay v'lois essay, because the Torah not only warns us against tampering with the nega. In that same pasuk, there's an essay. Be careful to safeguard that nega. Do as you're told. Follow instruction. Don't. We imply from there that don't tamper with it. So it's a positive mitzvah. So not only is the Torah warning you don't tamper with it, the Torah is telling you follow instructions. Do what you're meant to do. Safeguard that nega. So we have both things here. A tzaras entails both elements. Essay and lois essay. Now, the essay of Bris Milah can't go ahead and push over both of them. It can only override a lois essay. We don't find that an essay has the ability to override a lois essay which has an essay together with it. So there goes our whole assumption here, our whole assertion. We cannot assume blindly that the Milah will override the Taras, which is a very rich Avera, very rich Isra, has an essay and a lois essay. Umani Mekayim, if so, how do I fulfill the pasuk which says, Yimu Psar Lasai, one is meant to do Milah? That's only Mizma Shemba Baharis, when there's no Nega present there. Ordinarily, sure, you do Bris, but not when there's a Baharis. Therefore, the Bais concludes with a pasuk, Tamad Loimar, the pasuk says, Basar, which teaches us, Vav Apishesh and Baharis. Even when there is a nega, a baharis present at the mokum of milah, we proceed with the milah as usual. So Rava gives us the explanation of the steps, deliberations of the brisa, why the Tana began with a davar pashat, with an assumption that milah has the ability to negate baharis. It's either because of a kavachomer. If we find that milah overrides Shabbos, certainly overrides nega, or according to the second version, because Mila is a mitzvah saseh and can certainly override Nega, which is merely lois saseh, but then the Braisa reverts and questions that assumption. Perhaps it's not so simple. Now, according to the first approach, the Tana is questioning the basis of the Kavachimer. You're saying, well, if Mila negates Shabbos, which is stringent, surely it can override Nega. Well, maybe Nega is more stringent than Shabbos. And likewise, according to the second version, the assumption was that a Mila negates a Nega because Essay overrides a Lois Essay. Well, it's not so simple, because Nega also has an Essay. So the conclusion is we need to have a Pasuk. The Pasuk with the word Basar, which teaches us that, indeed, the Mila proceeds even at the expense of the Nega. Okay, says the Gemara. Tenach Godol Dichsib Basar. So we understand how we have a source that a milah takes place even at the expense of a nega when it pertains to a gadol, an adult, he's already past 13, where the Torah indeed uses the term basar in the context of his mitzvah. Katanami, likewise a katan, an 8-day-old baby, ksive basar, there too, it says basar. What about beinani, the fellow in the middle, he's past 8 days, but he's not yet in a gadol. There's a mitzvah on the father to do the bris at that point as well, even though it's past the prescribed time. Now in that pasuk in the parasha of Beinani, we don't find the word basar mentioned. Minolan, if so, how do we know that his bris milah as well can override a nega? Amar Abaye. Indeed, we cannot learn it directly. We can't say, well, we find it by gadol, we'll apply it to Beinani. If we find it by katan, we'll apply it to Beinani. We can't do that. But we can use a term called ma'atzad. We find the common denominator, asami benaya, a joint derivative, a joint derivation. Meaning, mi gadol le'asya, this fellow was past 8 days, so it's a milah shaloi bezmana. It's not in its prescribed time. He cannot go ahead and learn from the gadol. Just as the gadol's bris negates, nega overrides nega, his bris should have that ability as well. Why? Because perhaps the bris of the gadol is more prominent. Shekein onesh karis, because that bris entails issa karis. If the adult disregards his mitzvah, he gets karis. That's a more stringent form of bris. So perhaps over there, it will have the ability to override a nega, but not the bris of this minor, this katan, who's past 8 days old. Likewise, mi katan liasa. He can't learn it from the katan, the 8-day-old baby, very simple. Because she came milah bezmana, that has an advantage. It's being done in its right time. So perhaps that is considered to be a special bris, which can override a nega, but not the bris of the boy who's past 8 days. Ha, tzad hashava shaman, what is the common denominator between the bris of the katan, of the bris bezmano and the bris of the gadol, shekeinim moilin, they have a bris, but they have a taras, and their bris negates taras, has the ability to override nega, af kol, shekeinim moilin, likewise, all those other ones who have a bris, doichin es taras, their bris overrides the nega, and that's the source for this beinani, this katan who's doing it shaloi bezmano past 8 days, but under 13 years old, his bris as well has the power and ability to override a nega. Rav Amar has a different approach for the source of the Mila of the Shalei Bezmana. He says, look, Mila Bezmana Deicha, Lo Yitzricha Kra. We never really needed a Pasuk to inform us that the Mila Bezmana of the 8-day-old child has the ability to negate and override a taras. Why? And the point will be that I'll have an alternate source for the katan bezmanei, a kavachomer, and this will leave the word basar mentioned by the katan free and available. But it's unnecessary for the katan. The katan knows it from elsewhere. So that word can be applied to the beinoni, to the katan who's having his mila, shiloi bezmana, the teachers, that his mila as well can override taras. So let's get back to the Gemara. Rabbi tells us that the katan bezmanei doesn't need a pasuk. Mikavachomer asya. It can be derived from a kavachomer, which will teach us to allow his bris to override a nega. What is the kavachim? Uma Shabbos the Chamira. Since we find that Shabbos, despite the fact that it's so stringent, it has those isurim, those ancient, nevertheless, doiche, a bris overrides Shabbos, as we mentioned earlier, the pasuk by Yomashmini. So since we find the bris overrides Shabbos, which is stringent and superior, tzaras l'koshken, certainly it will override tzaras, which is inferior relative to Shabbos. So we know that a bris of a katan bezmanai will override tzaras. The pasuk is available to be applied to a beinani. He teaches us that his bris as well has that ability. Omelir Rav Safa l'Rav. Rav Safa challenged Rav as kavachim. We mind the Shabbos chamira. We come to a conclusion based on a kavachim, based on an assumption that Shabbos is the most stringent amongst the two. How do you know that? Dilma tzaras chamira. Perhaps tzaras is actually superior, more chamer to Shabbos. Shekhan deches avoida, because we find that tzaras negates avoida. If the kohen has tzaras, he doesn't do avoida. We don't remove the nega to enable him to do avoida. Vavoida deches haShabbos. And we find that avoida, which is negated by tzaras, has the ability to override Shabbos. We bring karbanos on Shabbos. So we find, at the end of the day, that tzaras seems to be more stringent than Shabbos, because we have this two-link, double-link chain here. Tzaras negates stronger than avoida. Avoida is stronger than Shabbos. So apparently tzaras is considered deemed superior to Shabbos. So there goes the whole kavachomer. What's your kavachomer? If we see that mila negates Shabbos, which is stringent, certainly it negates tzaras. Perhaps tzaras is more stringent than Shabbos. It's considered to be superior to Shabbos. Says the no, no, no. Hasam, over there, you know why you don't remove his nega to allow him to do the avoida? It's not on account of the chumra of tzaras. It doesn't indicate superiority. Hasam, la mishum de chamir tzaras. It doesn't indicate that tzaras is chumra. That's not the reason. Ela mishum de gavad lechazi. It's only simply because the person is not suitable, meaning he's not available to do the avoida. So it's not that tzaras is superior to avoida, and therefore we conclude it's superior to Shabbos as well. He simply is unable, he's physically, practically unable to do the avoida when he has a nega. But certainly Shabbos is superior to tzaras. So well, why is he unable? V'amai, v'yokitz bahar to v'yavoid. Simply let him chop off the baharas, the nega, and do the avoida. So what do you mean he's technically precluded from doing the avoida? So that's more, even if he removes the nega, mechusa tvila, who? He's still lacking tvila. And as Rashi pointed out, even if he's tovel, he needs to wait for the nighttime, for Erev Shemesh, which will be past the day of the carbon. There's no point, there's no purpose in removing the nega. It won't enable him to do the avoida. But certainly, Shabbos is superior to tzaras, and there forms the basis for Rava's kavachomer. If we find that mila overrides Shabbos, despite its superiority, certainly has the ability to override a nega. Says the Gemara, is the fact that the reason why you don't remove the nega to enable avoida is simply a circumstantial consideration, not on account of its superiority. Because if you remove it, he'll still remain tamei, etc. Tenech negaim tameim. That explains why, when he has a nega which is tamei, you won't bother removing the nega to enable him avoid it. But negaim toir, ma'ikalameim. What about negaim which are considered toir? Negaim which don't fit into the category of those negaim tameim. And those negaim, the Rashi brings, one is not allowed to remove them as well. You can't chop them off. But they go ahead and disable the kohen from avoid. They're considered to be a mum, a blemish. So they prevent him from doing the avoida, and we don't go ahead and remove that nega to enable him to do the avoida, despite the fact that theoretically removal of this nega will render him suitable for avoida. He's not tamei, he doesn't need tefillah, he's an Erev Shemesh. So apparently, nega indeed is superior. It's superior to avoida, and we find that nega, which is superior to avoida, and avoida is superior to Shabbos. So apparently, if we place nega against Shabbos, nega is actually considered to be more chamer. And there goes the basis of Yom Kavachomer Rava. Rava says, well, we know that mila overrides nega, because if mila overrides Shabbos, which is chamer, certainly it can do so by nega. No, nega seems to be more chamer. Look, you don't remove the nega to allow him to do avoida. Elam Rav Ashi, no. Certainly, Shabbos is the most stringent amongst the two. It's superior to Tzaras. Why then don't we remove the Nega to allow him to do Avodah? Hey, Chamrinan, when do we say the Asi Essay V'Dachi Lois Asay? When do we apply the rule that an essay overrides a Lois Asay? For instance, in this case, you want to remove his Nega to allow him to do the mitzvah of serving the Beis HaMikdash. So the mitzvah Asay of Avodah Beis HaMikdash should go and override the mitzvah Lois Asay, which disallows, prohibits removing that Nega. Right? That was Yikasha. Apparently, Tzaras is more chamer because look, he is prevented from doing Avodah. We don't go ahead and remove his Nega to allow him to do Avodah. Now, on what basis would you allow him to remove that Nega? Because he wants to proceed and do the mitzvah Asay of Avodah. And you want to employ the rule of Esay Doichel Esay, that the power, the positive power of the Avodah, the mitzvah Asay, overrides the Lois Asay, which prohibits from moving the Nega. That won't apply in the situation because it's not taking place simultaneously. At the moment that you're removing that Nega, is he doing the Avodah? Is he servicing the Beis HaMikdash? No! It's successive. First you're removing the Nega, then he'll go do the Avodah. We never allow that. We only employ the rule that an essay negates a Lois Asay when they're taking place simultaneously. For instance, he's wearing those tzitzis with the Kalayim. At that point, the Lois Asay is negated, is ignored because his act, his maisa, takes on that positive nature. It's considered to be a mitzvah say. So since it's happening at one at the same time, the essay is more powerful. As opposed to this case, you can't just go ahead and remove the nega to allow to avoid it later on. They're not happening at the same time. There's no justification. When do we employ this rule that an essay comes and negates a lois essay? Could go in mila, but tzaras, for instance, doing a bris mila when there's a nega because it's happening simultaneously. The mitzvah essay of the bris overrides the lois essay. It takes on a positive note. The act is a mitzvah essay. Inami, alternatively, another example, tzitzis v'kalayim. When he employs tzitzis to his tzitzis of kalayim, so he wears tzitzis, he's doing mitzvah say, despite the fact that it's kalayim, he can do so. The be'idna, the mis'akar lav, at the same moment that the lav is being uprooted and negated, come moikim asay, he is establishing the essay. Hocha, however, in this case, of the nega, which is on the coin, be'idna, the mis'akar lav, when you're going and disregarding the lav, you're removing the nega and doing the lav. Voikim moikim asay. You're not going and establishing. He's not establishing an essay. He's not doing the Avodah at the same time. So there's no justification for that. So according to Rav Ashi, yes, indeed, Shabbos is more stringent, is superior to Tzaras. And according to Rav's way of thinking, and therefore we have certainly a Kavach Chomer, if Mila can override Shabbos, it can override Tzaras, which is inferior to Shabbos. Why then do we say that a Kohen who has Tzaras, can he not proceed with Avodah? Can we remove the Tzaras to enable him to do Avodah? Because there's no justification for that. At the point of removal, is he doing an assay? No. So we find no grounds to allow that. Says the Gemara, V'ho, the Rav Rav Safra Tanoi. This discussion of whether or not there's a Kavach Chomer to teach us the halacha that Mila overrides Tzaras is actually Tanoi. It's based on Machlokes Tanoim. The Sani we learned in the Braisa, Basar, the Pasuk says, Basar, Rafa Bishishon, Baharis Imoy. Even if there's a Baharis, there's a Nega there, he does the Mila because it overrides the Isser of removing the Nega, the Rav Yeshia, who learns it from a Pasuk. Rav Yeshia, we don't need a Pasuk, and it's Arach. Shabbos Chamura Doicha. If we find that Mila can be Doicha, can negate and override the Shabbos, which is stringent, Tzaras like Koshkin, certainly it can override the Tzaras, which is less stringent, which is inferior compared to Shabbos. So we have a Kavach Chomer, which allows us to do the Mila even at the expense of Tzaras. So we have the Machlokes Tanoim, whether or not the Halacha of Mila by Tzaras is based on a Pasuk or on a Kavach Chomer. So in summary, we know that Mila negates Tzaras. We have three stages. We have the Katan Bizmani on the 8th day. We have the Katan Shiloi Bizmani past the 8th day. We have the Gadol. What do we know? That this concept applies to all three. So the Katan Bizmanai, we have a discussion whether we learn it from Basar, that's one Shita, or learn from a Kavach Chomer. If it Mila Kemidecha Shabbat, certainly Kemidecha Tzaras. Regarding the Katan who's passed the 8th day, we have one approach which says, we're going to learn from Atzal HaShava. We find a common denominator between the Gadol and the Katan. In both cases, the Mila is Decha Tzaras. Likewise, by the Katan Shalei Bizmanai, the same Allah applies. Rava's approach is, well, we have an extra word Basar from Katan, where it's not necessary because it's learned from a Kavach Chomer. So that word Basar is applied to the Beinoni, to the Katan Shalei Bizmanai, to teach us that his Mila as well is Doicha Tzaras. And regarding the Gadol, it's very simple and straightforward that the Pasuk there mentions the words Basar to teach us that his Mila is Doicha Tzaras. So in summary, we learned in today's daf that Amila Bizmana, meaning on the 8th day, is Doicha Shabbos. Amila, whenever it takes place, is Doicha Tzaraas.